Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom on the With Insights Radio Network with your host, Iggy Garcia, Mark Matini. Sit back and relax, grab a sandwich, listen to some of the coolest hosts on the internet. Food for your soul, food for your heart. Now, on to the show. Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom Cafe. I am Iggy Garcia, joined here with my good buddy, Mark Matini. Are you there, Mark?
I am here.
Okay, we're here live broadcasting to you. So what's going on, my friend?
just had some food for my stomach, so I guess it's now time for food for the brain.
Food for the brain. Like to say that this is just a basic map that we're going to bring you today. So everything we talk about, you know, you'll have to apply and adjust to your own belief systems, to your own, you know, core values, and, you know, and you throw out the things you don't need. So whatever you hear on this show today and you like it, keep it. And if you don't agree with it, dump it. We're not going to lose sleep over it. We just want to make sure you guys know that. So with no further ado, we are here.
This has been your official disclaimer.
That's right. That's right.
We are not doctors. We just play one on the radio.
Yes. Well, I didn't get to hear your show yesterday, but I heard it was really good. I'm going to have to listen to it here today a little bit later. So I'm sure you guys did pretty good, covered for my spot there, Mark, because I was back on the coaching scene here, back at Jones coaching soccer. And so the show must go on, with or without you.
Yes, we hit on some interesting, talked about giants throughout history and in current times, and then we kind of got into extraterrestrials a little bit and origins of mankind and the hidden history of the world, and we kind of just went all over the darn place.
Oh, sounds like you guys had a good time.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's
yeah, I had to cut them off at 2 hours because we were still, like... still rolling, even.
Well, that's good. Might be a part two on that one, you know?
You never know.
You never know.
You never know.
So what's going on astrologically?
Oh.
Or did I ask too soon?
From my spot in the universe, it was... very intense, chaotic energy yesterday. And there's a lot of people. I think we've had such intense upgrades in energy recently that seems to be a lot of people physically and mentally and emotionally having some difficulties finding... solid footing to step upon. And now we've got a lot of friends and family members out there that are ill or had some difficult physical situations lately. So our prayers go out to all of our members of our tribe that have people that are struggling right now.
Yeah. So
we had a Saturn station yesterday, and it was square to Jupiter and Venus. Saturn is finally going forward now. So hopefully that helps us put some structures and put some of our plans and ideas that have been internally formulating over the last several months. Hopefully that gives us a boost to help put things into putting them into the physical 3D reality where we can take some of our ideas and make them of use in the physical 3D form, if you will. And we are, those of us born in the Generation Xers, late 50s through early 70s, but particularly the people born in the mid 60s, especially the 65 to 67 area, we have a an extremely rare amount of energy and astrological power that will be available to us. And the highlight of this will be like May through July of next year for the people born in that 65 to 67 area. But anyone born from late 50s through early 70s will be getting this in different bits and pieces, but it'll be most intense for us next May through July. So it's a great opportunity for us to really take a step deeper into whatever individual gifts we have and take our leadership roles and, you know, to do what we can to help others work through the what I sometimes describe as muckiness of this 3D world we're in. How about that for vagaries?
you crack me up, man. Vagaries. Well, I want to send out prayers and, you know, good intentions to all my friends out there, our friends who are not well, who are sick, people who are in the hospital, my mom who was there. For Goldie, who's just in the hospital. She has suffered a stroke. I want to keep her in our prayers. For Adriana's mom, who's not doing well, pray for her. And just pray for everybody, you know, even those we miss and sometimes we don't hear about. There's been a lot of transitioning going on this last couple weeks. The people I've known pretty well for a long time. And it's it kind of hit me a little bit, you know, to know that, you know, you make it 62 and... wow, that's your life. You get to put 60 years in, you know? And it makes you wonder how precious and how important each day is. You know? It really does. Puts into perspective.
Right. We are not promised tomorrow or 5 minutes from now or anything else. So that's why, you know, I try to use that to, even if I'm not feeling up to snuff or feeling a little bit lazy or tired some days, you know, it's like, you know, you may not have tomorrow to finish this project or to spend time with this person or to work on this, that, or the other. So
true.
You know, sometimes you just have to push through. Just know there's other people out there struggling at times too, so you know, we just pick each other up and keep rolling.
Yeah, and it brings me to kind of the topic that I wanted to talk about a little bit was, well, one thing about getting folks to get in gear and to do the things that they want to do, especially the people in our community, our holistic community, they have a hard time gearing up. But before I get into that topic, I wanted to ask you a question. And maybe you can kind of give me your perspective or your perceptions on how you see this. But I've been seeing a lot of posts lately from people who have been talking about the universe in general, you know, God or whatever, about why, you know, why there's so much suffering, why we have to go through all this melee of learning all this indoctrination of money, learning all this energy, this sort. You know, the old saying is money is the root of all evil. And so, yeah, we'll tell you, says, well, you know, it's the love of money. But in our society, the system is that we have to use money in order to barter, change, or exchange, whatever. But this person was kind of shouting out to the universe, like, you know, what's this all about? You say to do this and be this way, and yet we have to live this way. You know, I mean, what's the contradiction? Why is that contradiction?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm sure that's one that we all have certainly struggled with at times. You know, I don't... I think if... And some of these maybe will fall under the category of harsh realities. You know, I think if we just wanted to sit and meditate and just evolve on the mental, spiritual level, I think we could have done that in another format. I think we could have just sat out there in space or in another frequency or another timeline mm-hmm. or whatnot and just, you know, went mentally or emotionally or spiritually, you know, observed and made sense from an abstract, detached view of what was, you know, going on in some different aspects of reality. I think, mm-hmm. you know, I believe we decided to come here and we set ourselves up with some challenges because, you know, I mean, we could spend a large portion of our lives sitting on the couch and watching TV and, you know, eating fast food and whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think we came back here to learn different things and to experience different things to make us more, you know, to understand the totality of everything more by experiencing different things. And so... You know, I think one of the easiest things I think to deal with the money thing is I have to we all get so emotionally charged, like, you know, oh my God, I'm not going to pay my bills this month, and you know, I've been there, you know, the last year or so, mm-hmm. you know, wondering, you know, if you're going to make the bills for that month and all that kind of stuff, and it's like you kind of have to detach emotionally just a little bit because I know for me when I make really emotionally charged decisions and stuff I don't make good judgments. I don't make good decisions. So I have to just kind of pull back a little bit and kind of look at things like, you know, okay, why are things happening this way? What is the lesson of this? What am I supposed to do? And, you know, we're here in our these physical bodies too, because there are certain lessons we can only learn through physically and emotionally experiencing these things that we can't learn just by living things out in our head. So mm-hmm. While we see lots of tragedies and disheartening things, you know, there's good things that happen too. So I think it's important to keep those things in balance, and I think that I don't really, mm-hmm. I would say in the first half of my life, I maybe wallowed in the victimization mindset probably too much, mm-hmm. and so I can't really look anymore at why are these things happening to me, and the kind of pity type stuff because, you know, mm-hmm. everyone's got their own, you know, everybody's got their own challenges, especially right now. I mean, everybody I know is either really unhappy in their job or struggling financially or undergoing some what can only be called bizarre physical or spiritual, emotional changes. Or, you know, have loved ones that are sick. So, you know, I just try to keep in mind that, you know, we're all going to be together in the next realm after that, after this, and, you know, maybe be back here together again, and that there's, you know, everybody isn't going to be with us every step along the way the whole time. Some people come in and out for short periods. Some people need to have an early checkout because they've worked on the couple, you know, whatever main lessons they're supposed to learn this time around. And they have, you know, they have people to help or people to influence in other timelines or realities or You know, I try to keep at least just a modicum of distance from some situations, just like the animal things. You know, I can get really emotionally charged and angry when I see that stuff. But I think, you know, spiritually I understand that. But just like, here's an example, zoos is a topic I see that come up a lot now. Mm-hmm. People love to go see the animals, but also there's a lot of people that like, well, I wish we didn't have zoos. These animals shouldn't be locked up. And mm-hmm. I agree with both of those things. I love zoos, and I also feel bad seeing animals locked up. But I know, too, that I don't know that animals have, I believe that animals have souls. I don't know that they operate on the same level or with the same meanings that ours do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think some of those animals are animal ambassadors. I mean, and in reality, we couldn't just turn all these animals loose. And that, you know, you can't take an animal that's been in captivity for years and just like go, okay, we're going to send you back to the wild now. That's not going to work. I think we could agree on that. But too, I think, you know, because one thing is, I know that, you know, I can watch National Geographic Channel and see a lion mm-hmm. or a leopard or whatnot, but it's different to see it in person. So, you know, like on one level, I try to think of these, of the animals, our animal friends that are at zoos and things, as, you know, ambassadors for their species. And that, because I really want little kids to fall in love with these animals. Why? So that they want to take care of them in the future and not hunt them or, you know, it's the same, or, you know, kill them to the point of extinction or whatnot. I want them to have an intense emotional interaction or an intense emotional feeling with them when they see them at a zoo or a sanctuary or a shelter or whatnot. And I'm not even just talking about lions. I'm talking about just, you know, cats and dogs and birds, even things we see every day. And, you know, that, I think that's, you know, just like we're here to experience emotional and physical things to help us evolve and understand things better, I think, you know, maybe our kindred animal spirits are here for the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes they're in bad situations that they don't like either. And should we not have taken them out of the wild? Yes, we probably should not have taken them out of the wild and left them there. But too, there are, you know, just an idea on that level, maybe the animals that have recently been taken out of the wild and put into a zoo, maybe those should be returned home. And then these, you know, animal sanctuaries we have where animals have been abused or somebody thought it was cool to own an exotic pet and then needs to get rid of it, maybe those mm-hmm. animals should be put into the zoos where they can, you know, have more financial backing to them, you know, if it's an animal that can't be released back into the wild or something.
Right.
So, you know, so maybe that's kind of a fix for that situation, is the zoos mm-hmm. just be, we don't take healthy live animals out of the wild, but the ones that have had injuries or can't be put back into the wild, maybe those could go to the zoos. Just an idea. But I know I've gotten way off topic here, but I just kind of kept drifting there with the tides.
Maybe you want to take your girlfriend to the zoo. Maybe that's what the underlying story is. The zoo. Mark wants to go to the zoo.
Right, right.
See the jackalopes.
Right. But I think, you know, there is a lot of suffering out there, but we I think we need to, you know, and this is where I am with, like, the conspiracy stuff, too. I look at things, I try to call out stuff that I see that is BS, mm-hmm. but I try not to dwell in it. Do I believe there are evil forces in our government? Yes. Do I believe they want to do a bunch of nasty stuff to us and limit our freedoms and everything? Yes. But I don't sit and I don't make everyday judgments in my life on that. I try not to. I see it, recognize it for what it is, because I want to understand the rules of the game and the reality that we're in. But I also try not to make my personal decisions and my, you know, decisions according to my morals and values out of fear of what, you know. Because, I get on my show and I talk about stuff that, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, man, I wouldn't say that on the air. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not afraid. If they want to do something, they can come do something. The same thing, you know, a lot of people have deleted their Facebook Messenger and stuff. And it's like, oh, they can read your messages and stuff on there. I believe that. I believe they can tap in and read your messages and stuff. So that's why I save them the trouble and I just say stuff on the air. So if they want to, they want to come get me or whatnot, that's not going to shut me up. I just go and say my stuff on the air, and then I don't worry about the stuff I say in personal messages is probably a lot less controversial than what I blabber about on the air sometimes. So,
if you own a cell phone, a computer, a telephone at home, you're already being monitored. So,
right. And while I understand that, you know, deleting your Facebook Messenger or not posting certain things on, or, you know, on Facebook or whatever, it's like, still, you know, if they wanted to get anyone, they could dig something up on you. And if they didn't have anything to dig up on you, they could fabricate something. So, you know what, I just don't worry about it.
Yep, you're right.
I don't. If they get you to a point where you're basing every decision and you're afraid to go outside because you live in a fear-based reality, then you've finished the plan for them. So there's really no point in it. I just go do, and I do what I like to do as much as possible, and I try to say what I think as much as possible, and I don't really worry about, is the NSA listening or whatnot.
That,
you know?
That sounds like a song. I do what I want to do. I say what I want to say. All right, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
You are listening to Mark and Nikki with Insights Radio, Lunchtime Wisdom Cafe. Well, we hope you're enjoying our show today. We're kind of just talking a little bit of things about the universe and give a little astrology and not trying to put any fear in anybody. But I wanted to talk a little bit about something that's kind of close to my heart. What I work on is my holistic praxis, just kind of like everybody else does. We're all trying to find a way to make it better, to make it right. So, folks, you might want to grab a pen and paper, take some notes. This is a coach to the coach, I guess. I wanted to share some of my thoughts, and Mark could share some of his thoughts too along the way. And I know that there's a lot of people in our community, Mark, who struggle, and I mean struggle. I mean they really struggle to find their niche, to find their groove, to find their way to get into the eye of the community that they so dearly love and they so dearly want to share. And, you know, sometimes being in the holistic frame of mind, we kind of think that we're separate from the 3D world, that we have a different, our agenda is different, which it is. You know, our message is different, but we still have to cater into the 3D dimensions too. There are people there who are stuck, and there are practitioners who are there who are stuck. And so the question is, how do we get those people out of there? How do we get them to, you know, come and buy our services or use our services or, you know, barter for our services, donate to our services? And that's always been a good question. I mean, it's kind of like anything. I believe that the holistic business is very close, very similar to owning a restaurant, almost in the sense that you have to keep it busy, keep it full, like any business. But some things are natural fix, you know, like you open certain things that people need, they buy it, and you win. But in the holistic business, you don't really need it. I mean, I hate to say it like that, but people don't really need to have it unless they know about it. And it's usually we're the last alternative to things after people have gone through a myriad of different trials and tribulations or trying to find some kind of way. But then there are people who love it and they find it. But it's always been known in our community that it's one of the toughest brokering businesses, because how do you get people to pay you? How do you get people to invest in you? How do you get people to invest themselves? So how do you do it? And sometimes we don't take this business seriously enough as a business. We treat it as a hobby. And if anybody knows anything about hobbies, if you treat it like a hobby, you get a hobby results. So how do you get out of the hobby results? Well, you have to change your way of thinking. Because number one, if you work on your way of thinking and change it a little bit, then other people observe your thinking, observe how you're moving and how you're dancing through navigating through the words you say. Are you positive about what you talk about? Are you the boss in your business? That's probably one of the most key ingredients, knowing, are you the boss? Have you met the boss? Do you want to be the boss? You know? Some people don't want to be the boss. They just want to open a business and then have other people run it. That works. But what I find is, if you're the boss and you're there and you're that key ingredient, that little crystal that you put right in the middle that activates the whole system, it makes it much easier, much better. Excuse me. Because a lot of people go to people because they like certain people or they like certain energies. They're attracted to certain type of vibrations. We talked about frequency here on the show quite a bit lately. So frequency is very super important. So if you're a holistic practitioner right now who's in business and is struggling with the business, or if you're brand new and you want to get into it, one of the key things is getting to know who you are first and what you are to that business, what you are to that community, what you mean and what you want to be, how you want to brand yourself. Branding is super important, how you look at the world and how you're going to be perceived. But you're going to be perceived regardless if you want to or not. Regardless if you want to or not, people will perceive you. People will look at you and they're going to say, okay, I like that guy. Oh, no, that guy's quacky. You know, that was a big word they used to work. Remember, Mark, they used to work quacks.
Yeah.
In the holistic. Yeah, yes. Quack was a big, big, big word. And quackery was associated with a lot of chiropractics in the past. You know, and then that started to break away a little bit, chip and chip. Because what happened is, somebody along the way created an energy, created some kind of force that said, oh, wow, this isn't quackery. This is real. This is true. You have to believe in what you're doing. Belief is so huge in what you're doing. Even when it doesn't feel good, like you said earlier, Mark, sometimes you just have to be grateful and thankful that you woke up, you know, that God gave you breath or the universe gave you breath and that you have that. So when I say meet the boss, I mean really literally look at yourself in the mirror and you know, talk to yourself and have a meeting with you and sit there and say, hey, what are we going to do? What's the agenda? Where are we right now? What is it that we're not doing? And what is it that we would like to do? Where would we like to focus? How would we like to get ahead? What is our, you know, our plans, you know, because we're with ourselves 24/7, regardless, unless you're meditating or flaked out somewhere into God knows where, but you know, getting there and looking in the mirror. The mirror work is super important. We talk about how other people are our mirrors, but it's hard for people to actually sit and look at themselves in the mirror and actually have a conversation with them because they think that something's not right when you do that. But you know what? I disagree. I disagree wholeheartedly. In medicine work, we always encourage people to observe how other people look at us and how they associate with us. So one of the big exercises that I'd like to share with people is actually mirror work, to actually look in the mirror. And it's kind of like scribing, I guess, but you actually sit there, and you sit there for as long as you need to. And you have meetings with yourself. You actually sit there and have a meeting. If you have not opened your business yet, or if you have a business, you sit there and say, hey, this is where we're at. What do we need to do? And you'll be surprised the things that come out of your mouth. You'll start looking in this mirror, and you will totally morph and change. You won't look the same. You eventually, it'll kind of freak you out at times. But then, excuse me, and then you start to see that, you know, that there's a connection, a deeper universal connection between you and aspects of you and how you see yourself. You'll start to encourage yourself. You'll start to build yourself. You'll start to self-motivate. So mirror work is super important to sit there. And, you know, just talk about anything in the beginning. To make it easier, just sit there and talk about anything. And just let go. And just talk about your game plans. I don't know if you've ever done that, Mark, or not. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, in a way, I guess I don't do mirror work, as you say, but I try to, communicate with, I guess, what I will call my spirit guides, and I, you know, kind of like I was saying earlier, kind of step back and kind of step outside of myself and try to look at how things are going, and then I try, you know, I ask my spirit guides for, I say, hey, I'm stuck here. I need a little different perspective. What am I supposed to do here? Give me a sign. And then, as I've told many people in the last week, if the message is unclear, I say, hey, I need 3 confirmations. I didn't get that. Or I need a very clear sign.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I need...
I'm gonna encourage you to look in the mirror and just sit there one day, even if it's for like 2 minutes. If it freaks you out to look at yourself,
right?
You might turn into a rabbit. I don't know. No, a lot of it because it's imagery. We see ourselves in a certain light, and then it's a way for you to look at yourself and see how people, how you respond to yourself looking at yourself, and how maybe people are looking at you. Okay, how our mannerisms are. How we move, you know, how, if we smile or if we're serious look, it gives us an outlook and an in look to ourselves to say, okay, wow, do I do that all the time? Do I scratch my nose every time I say I can or something? You know, you'd be surprised at the little things that you'll pick up on and having a conversation with yourself and the confidence that it would build up inside of you. And then eventually you probably won't need the mirror. You probably won't need it at some point. You probably just check back. It's kind of like mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? Because it's your life. It's your life regardless of Snow White's and Prince Charming's. It's your life. And you have to take charge of it. And one of the ways to take charge of your life is to believe in who you are and how you believe you see yourself. Sometimes you talked about earlier about how some people don't have the self-confidence and they're kind of down. And we get caught in that quagmire of life. And then, but here's the thing. When we start to believe, when we start to embrace who we think we are and how we were perceived, it changes something about us, and it changes something about our aspects of how we view the world. Because I know I when I used to do it, I don't do it as much as I used to. It is hard to look at yourself sometimes and sit there and ask these tough questions. I mean, who are you? What are you doing? What's going on? You look good today. You look dapper, you know? I mean, even the stupidest things that you want to say to yourself, it's a start. You know, say, hey, you know, what's going on? It's tough. It's tough to look at us,
right?
Because, you know, that's how people look. When we look at ourselves in the mirror, people are looking at us the way they see us, you know. They see things that we don't see about ourselves. And the imagery is so important, so powerful in business. In business, you know, it's about making first impressions. It doesn't matter what kind of business you're in. If you're in the restaurant business, hotel business, you know, steel business, holistic business, first impressions are important, you know. You have to look at yourself and say, do I look presentable? Do I look like what an astrologer may look like? I don't know what that is, or a shaman. Am I sending off the right vibration to people, so am I approachable? You'd be surprised, because it used to be that 30 seconds was the key notion to grab somebody's attention, but now it's 10 seconds. Now it's like 10 seconds. You can smile wrong. You can look at somebody wrong and turn them off completely. I've seen it. I've heard it. you can over hug somebody, you can over shake somebody's hand. I mean, these are just little things that we're not aware of sometimes because we're so consumed in how we feel about ourselves. But sometimes we forget how other people feel about us. We have to project to them and say, hey, you know what? I'm an inviting, loving person, and I want to introduce myself to you, you know? Not trying to sell you anything. I just want you to know who I am. And that's one of the things I learned in business pretty quick, that you sell yourself in the first 10 seconds.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Because it's hard to... that's one of the hard things. I mean, it's hard to... I mean, like you said, we're with ourselves 24 hours a day. So it's kind of hard. We know what we're thinking and what our intentions are and, you know, what we want, at least on some levels. But it's hard to know how other people perceive us, or hard to know what other people are thinking about us. And so, I mean, you know, through technology, we have some, you know, different ways of maybe looking at that stuff. But it's, you know, but like I try to do that. I try to go, like, every once in a while I go through my Facebook page and like, okay, what's on here? What is there hateful stuff on here? Is there, you know, angry stuff? Is there, you know, so I try to make sure that I put across at least a fairly, you know, evolved image, or make sure that I'm spreading light or humor, as opposed to, and not that there's not, you know, there's political things that I get worked up by and things like that, but, you know, mm-hmm. I just try to, you know, don't drink and post, you know. It's like, think about what you're, you know, if I'm having a day when I'm feeling dark or something, you know,
or if I'm right,
put the mouse down. if there's things that I know, I, you know, so, and hey, this is, I'm not preaching. I have as many dark days as anybody on this planet. I just figure, you know what, maybe today I shouldn't, like, go posting a bunch of stuff on Facebook. Or if I see something that triggers me, then I just kind of stop. I'm like, okay, why did my blood pressure just go up 800 points? You know, what triggered me, and why did it trigger me? Is this something that I'm really upset about, or does this touch some unhealed wound that I have? And then I try to look into that. It's like, okay, how can I fix this? How can I change this? Because, you know, I mean, I think rarely do we ever feel good when we, you know, post something or say something that's, you know, really angry or bitter or whatnot. And it's okay to have those thoughts. I think we all have those thoughts, but I think the point is that those thoughts are coming up for a reason, and that's something for us to look at maybe with ourselves, not necessarily share every dark or negative thought we have with the entire world. Maybe it's something mm-hmm. personal for us to look at and to, you know, resolve.
Right. So these two topics that I'm covering today are kind of the emotional aspects of business. And the points that you make are very valid. So one thing, people need to know you're in business. That's one thing that a lot of people don't do. They hide it. They keep it a secret, kind of like, I don't know. It's strange. It's almost like they don't want anybody to know that they're in business. But if you don't tell people you're doing some kind of work, or you're an astrologer, or you're a massage therapist, or you're a shaman, or you're some type of doctor, how are they going to know? And so how do you tell people without them forgetting? So it's super important when you have I'm going to tell them, this is the most simplest way to tell people that you're in business. Open your mouth. Number one.
Right.
Number two, have a card ready. And this card has to be very simple. You can't have like 50 million things on one card and trying to explain everything in one shot. You know, direct everybody to your website, because a website, all the website is a virtual brochure that's some of them are very active and they work, and some of them just sit up there and collect dust, universal dust. Okay, so those things, you have to be able to communicate to the world. You said earlier, we're very connected with technology in the society now, so everybody can find information on people very quickly, and they can read up about the things they're doing. So here in Columbus, per se, where we live, we have people who do certain types of work or very similar, but not all of them are successful. You would think because you're a massage therapist or you were this or that, that you would be able to be successful, but some people are not. I've run into people who are not successful, and the reason they're not successful is because a lot of people get into it because they wanted to do something positive, they wanted to help the society, and they wanted to make some money, but they didn't realize that there's a business side to it, unless you work for a company or you work for somebody. But there is a business side to being in a holistic world, living in a 3D environment, while you're flipping back and forth from 3D to 5D, it makes it very difficult. Open your mouth, business cards, and that 10-second spiel right off the bat, what do you do? That's super important to let people know what you do. And you can frame that any way you want. Some people say, I'm an astrologer, and I do. But, there's a lot of astrologers out there. Say you're an astrologer, but what kind of astrologer? You could say, I'm this type of astrologer. Make it sound very fancy. And that just opens up a whole door or a whole myriad of ideas and visuals in people's minds. And that's the key thing, is to open up visuals in people's minds when they're thinking about what you do as a business. Because as soon as you say astrologer, they probably think of the Sunday paper and they flip over to the horoscopes and they're thinking about what sign I am. And they're probably going to ask you, do you know what Sagittarian is, Mark? They probably ask you something
right.
Really silly like that. This probably
right.
Happened to you. Probably not so much now, but I know that happens.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so that's a great point, because I guess I had an eye-opener about 6 months ago where a couple of people mentioned that they didn't know I did readings.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I thought, wow, really? But then I thought about it, and I was like, well, how often do I promote? I do the radio shows and classes and lectures and stuff. But I thought about it, and I'm like, I really don't pimp myself that. This is one of the big lessons I've learned the last couple years. There's a funny saying, pimping ain't easy. And the reason that saying exists is because it's not. I think I'm pretty good at helping promote other people and stuff like that, but it's really hard for, even though that's going to sound ridiculous because I'm on the radio 2 to 6 times a week, but but it is. It takes a lot of effort for me to kind of step out and say, hey, yeah, I do something that I feel helps people and is worthwhile, and I charge money for it. And because I think time is, time is money. Time is the one thing that you can never get back. You can make more money. You mm-hmm. can get another apartment. You can get another car. The one thing you can never recover is time. Once time is gone, that time is gone. And so that's, and that was a big thing, because there's I know there's a lot of people think, hey, you shouldn't charge for spiritual stuff. And I'm like, on one level, I'm like, yeah, in a way, I kind of agree with that. But then, you think about that a little deeper, and it's like, well, we pay for toxins that we put into our body through mm-hmm. food and pesticides, and we pay for gas and other things that maybe pollute the environment, or we pay for all kinds of bad things. So why is it wrong to pay for some coaching or spiritual guidance? And it's not that I do, believe me, I do tons of stuff for free for people.
Sure.
As far as readings and stuff. So I don't, every time I give somebody advice, I'm not saying, hey, throw me a 20, because I think that's ridiculous too. But I don't think it's wrong to charge for a worthwhile service. And two, I think that makes the person getting the reading, I think that makes them take it a little more seriously and pay. Because you're right, some people do have the impression that, and maybe not so much, you know, in our community, but I think the mainstream public, there's a lot of people that still think, hey, astrology is the horoscopes in the daily newspaper. And in reality, horoscopes and, like, astrology have very little in common, actually. Mm-hmm. Horoscope is just a group reading where you divide everyone on the earth into 12 categories. And obviously, they're, you get what you pay for. I mean, if you want a group reading for you and 42 million of your closest friends where you all fit in one category, obviously you're going to get something very shallow and very vague. And how much are you paying for that? Nothing. It's a freebie in the newspaper. So right. Just like, you know, it's like if you buy one of those idiot's books to, you know, Idiot's Guide to Car Mechanics or Idiot's Guide to Physics or whatever, obviously, you're just getting the very base level stuff there. And that's what the daily horoscopes are. It's just, it's a group reading for tens of millions of people. So obviously, you're not going to get too much good, insightful insight out of that. But astrology is more, astrology is looking at all 12 houses in your chart and all 12 signs and all 9 planets and 3 luminaries and the 4 cardinal points and 5 asteroids and, you know, transits. And I mean, you're multiplying that times a billion. I mean, I could do, if I wanted to, I mean, I could do 10-hour readings on people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how much information you can get. I mean, because I've expanded the length of my readings, and it's still, I'm just going over the biggest points in their, you know, a brief touching on the biggest points in their chart. I mean, I could, you know, I could kidnap people and give them, you know, 30-day readings where I just babble at them for 30 days about different stuff in their chart and still not get to everything.
Right.
So, yeah, so, I mean, I think anything that has value, I think it's okay to, you know, charge money for or whatnot. And what you see in the mainstream is just, you know, just a very basic bottom level of, you know, astrology and, you know, a lot of other areas in the metaphysical world, too. I mean, there's, I'm just all over the place today, aren't I? But yeah, your original, 3 days ago, your original question was, you know, yeah, so I came to the point where it's like, man, people really don't know that I do readings, a lot of them. So I put a big post on Facebook and I, hey, this is what I do. This is how much it is. This is how long it lasts. I look at this, 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 and this, and this is how you can get a hold of me. And I, you know, and I got some responses from that. But I realized that, man, I pimp all these classes and radio shows and lectures that I do and put up astrology blogs. But, man, I hardly ever really post that I do readings and stuff.
Yeah.
So I had to make myself aware. And you're right. No one's going to come to you for business if, you know, if I'm selling pizzas, if I don't let people know that I'm selling pizzas, how are they not going to come order a pizza from me, you know?
Right. Or, you know, how about this? You sell pizzas and you send them down the street to buy pizza from somebody else.
Right.
I mean, I have nothing against, you know, supporting other businesses. But, you know, sometimes we forget about ourselves. We're the key factor. We're the key ingredient to our success. And, you know, other people, you know, they contribute to our success. You know, they either they contribute or they take away. So you have to be able to know when to separate those two or when to encourage those. So another aspect about being a practitioner in any type of the business, any type of holistic field or metaphysical field we're talking about are the tools that we have in front of us that we don't know sometimes that we have. So many people, you know, wish they had this or wish they had that. But you don't need a lot to be in, to go into business. It doesn't take a whole lot. Now, as soon as you start growing, then you have to adjust and you'll have to maybe get a space or whatever. But tools are so simple. Most of us have them right in front of us. We have our cell phones right in front of us. 24/7 information right in front of us. Our computers, people hardly use them like they used to. You know, we have our voicemail, direct to our voicemail. We have all these tools that are super important that are accessible to us that we use on day by day, and we forget about them. You know, what's your recording say on your phone when people don't answer? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever think about what message you're portraying on your phone? Or you have some kind of goofy message, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or are you saying something very more professional? Are you saying, hi, thanks for reaching me. I'm away from my phone right now. Please leave a message. Your call's super important. How are you projecting your importance of yourself to others and how they perceive you? Remember, because 10 seconds, 30 seconds, they're listening to that voice message. They're going to hear, and they're going to say, wow, I like that guy's energy. Sounds good over the phone. I've had people say that to me. I like your recording. I never thought about it. But those are one of those things that we sometimes take for granted. That's us representing us when we're not available. So it's super important. So when we represent ourselves, that we're representing ourselves in a good light, especially when we're in a business that, you know, promotes positive and healing and people self-healing. Super important. And, you know, to think about the cell phone is super amazing. To think about the internet is super amazing. We have in front of us the most powerful tools to communicate around the world, just about anywhere where somebody has a phone number or has a blog or a chat room or something we can get into. So the excuses that the world is that I can't make business is kind of, I would have to say, a little bit, you know, maybe underachieving, maybe a little bit ridiculous, because you have the whole world to grab, not just Columbus, Ohio. You have the whole avenue to explore and to be part of and to share your dreams and thoughts with. Granted, in the beginning, a lot of things might have to be free, might have to be, you know, to get your word out, promoting yourself, talking to everything, getting into passing your cards, going to these meetings, you know. But that's how it works. That's how it happens. You know, going to meetups, going to groups, creating meetups, creating drum circles like we do. I mean, we have some great friends because of the things we have done.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great point. I have done Skype readings with people in Greece and New Zealand, and just on my radio show, I've had people from New York and Florida and California and Texas and Washington State. I mean, you know, people are out there, and it's just, you know, finding the ways to reach. I go to my website and look at. You know, you can search the statistics and stuff, and you know, my corporate job has always been in international shipping, so I've heard of most countries in the world because I've had to look up export rules and regulations and special tariffs and stuff like this. But I mean, I've gone onto my website and I get hits from countries that I didn't know where they were, that I'd never you know, little islands and stuff, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I've never even heard of that place. So you can, with the internet, your audience is the world if you put things that are in format to where anyone can access them.
Mm-hmm.
If I just did live in-person readings, then that would narrow down my audience. But that's a great point, too, about the phone messages, too. I mean, sometimes we want to put funny things on there and stuff because our friends will know it's an inside joke or whatnot. But, you know, I have business cards. I've had people call me from other states and from, you know, parts of Ohio that I've never been to for readings. And, you know, I gave somebody a business card in an expo or three, and they gave those cards to somebody. Or, you know, I've got cards at a lot of shops in Columbus. And so somebody who may not know me may pick up my card, and my business card is my first contact, my first representation to them. And then, you know, my phone greeting is the second contact to them. You know, so if they right. haven't listened to my show or come to one of our drum circles or come to one of my meetups, then they may not know my, you know, my sense of humor or whatnot. So you don't know when or where somebody's going to stumble across you or what where they're going to get their first impression. So I think that's a great business point, is to make sure that you're tight on, you know, the front door of your house looks good.
Right.
Because that's where people are gonna walk through. So
yes, absolutely.
If you want to make sure your front door area is clear, for a feng shui analogy there.
You know, you just think of your phone as a teleporter. You know, it teleports your voice to somebody else and their voice back to you. So it's actually you traveling 2,000 miles to another, you know, to another country and representing your, you know, hearing yourself. That's what's so cool about phones and internet and all that stuff. Powerful. Super powerful.
Yes. Yes.
And then
I
hear, I'm like, Iggy, nobody's calling. Well, are you answering your phone? Or is it always going to voicemail? You know, is there another way you can direct somebody to go to your website and to get to know you? These are super important things, to just little things. And, you know, I'm available for coaching. If you need coaching and need help, I can help people out there. So if you need help with that, you can find me at iggygarcia.com. And see, that's kind of how you just got to plug yourself from time to time without being overbearing. But, and Mark has his own website too, and he does, you know, his coaching as well. And you do coach people, Mark. I've seen you, I've heard you, and you're coaching right now.
I try. You know, it's just, yeah, there's a lot of ways to get a hold of people and to reach people. Like you said, too, you know, do you respond to your text messages in a short period of time? Do you respond to your emails?
That's super important,
yeah, I mean,
Mark. Super important, because people can go to the next guy, and if they haven't heard from you in 10 minutes, half an hour, a day, they can just call somebody else who looks just as fancy.
Right. So, I mean, I try to respond to everything within 24 hours at the most. I
mm-hmm.
try to, at least, even if I don't have a chance to talk to the person, if my schedule is busy, I at least try to just real quick say, hey, I got your message. I'm booked up today, but I will be back in contact with you tomorrow morning or whatnot. Just so that they know that, you know, their message didn't go shoot out into dead space, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's all about communication at the end of the day.
Yes, absolutely. It's a relationship. You're creating relationships with people. It's communicating and communication, talking, and, you know, there's nothing, I mean, that's what we do. That's what our business is about, spiritual relationships, and that's what we're trying to create. And you'd be surprised. You know, don't ever discount anybody who might, you don't think may need your services. You'd be surprised.
Yes, absolutely. And, to, you know, our little group has had several discussions recently about, you know, sometimes you have to keep expanding your base. You know, sometimes you have to, you know, what groups of people am I not hitting? How are other people marketing themselves? How are other people being successful? How can I reach different groups that maybe, you know, because we discovered through some conversations that there's, you know, groups of people out there that may be open to our message, but maybe they're not in our, you know, our metaphysical group or our drum circle or whatnot. So it's like, how can you expand your base into people who maybe don't know about shamanism or astrology or tarot? But maybe would be open to it.
Right.
And it's like, how do you reach those people and, like, keep expanding your base? Because I think we kind of found that we were maybe marketing to the same people over and over again the same thing. And it's like, you know, when you shift around and make different contacts, and, you know, keep that energy, keep that chi flowing, then that kind of helps keep bringing in new business and new contacts and, you know, people that maybe, you know, can use your message.
Yeah, and that's super, super true, you know, recognizing your target market. I mean, that's something we've been talking about as a group, as a little discussion group. You know, being in business for yourself, you know, noticing the needs of others. That's probably the biggest thing in our business, noticing the needs of others. You know, and noticing the needs that we had for ourselves, searching other people, and something that you didn't see, that's called a niche. That's something that you create, something that's very unique to yourself, and then sharing that with the world. And once you recognize that, then you build on it. And you're always going to have to keep building. You always have to become very crafty, very creative on doing your business and reaching the world and letting them know what you're doing. Super, super, super important.
Right, right. Because if they're not already signed up to your email list or to your website or blog or whatever, they may not know that there's... Because I have all these... You know, I have all these different groups of people I interact with, and I forget that, hey, you know, these people weren't privy to this information, and, you know, these people may not know that I do classes. These people may not know that I do readings. And so it's like try to cross-pollinate as much as possible. That's probably a really bad analogy, but
well, makes sense.
I'm not beyond bad analogies. But it's important because you never know when you're going to find that one contact that, you know, puts you in position to meet, you know, other clients. Or, you know, I've made contacts and then, you know, get introduced to another group, and then I'll get, you know, 4 or 5 readings sometimes off of just through connecting with different people. And so you don't want to know, so you want to treat every person, every client as, you know, a good contact point, because you never know where it's going to lead.
Yeah, yeah, you're true. Now, here's one of the biggest things that happen in business, and that's called obstacles. Obstacles are actually the things that we manifest in front of ourselves or believe to be true. Our biggest obstacle sometimes is ourselves, and that's why the mirror work that I talked about earlier is super important. A lot of us have never been in business for ourselves, and we think it's a great idea. Sometimes we don't go into business to do something that necessarily is something that we think is going to change the world, but we go into business because we want to find the freedom and the aspects of being able to be our own boss, to be able to see and do things and have a little bit more free time. But sometimes when you get into business for yourself, you have many bosses. And number two, then you have actually work many hours too, because you're in charge. You're the person who's making it happen. And that's obstacles that happen to people a lot.
Yeah, I agree. That was kind of one of the steps that I took was, you know, I was tired of working for other people and stuff. But until you get things flowing, you'll find that maybe, you know, there are some nice things in having that, you know, 8 to 4:30 job or whatever. Because you go, you put in your time and then you're done. But when you're doing everything for yourself, when you're your own marketing company and the one creating all the content and material and your own promotion company and whatnot, you can you can find that it gets like, man, at least when I was working an 8-to-5 job, I would at least have days off. But now, you know, a lot of times it's like, I feel I have to spend at least a few hours every day, you know, 7 days a week, at least working on something or communicating back on, you know, setting up readings or radio shows or classes or so it can be long out, but the reward is you don't have somebody dictating to you, you know, what you have to do and whatnot. So it's, you know, it's a lot of trial and error. So one thing that I would tell people is, you know, don't get, if you make a mistake here and there, you know, it's a learning experience and you know not to do it next time, but, you know, spending time beating yourself up doesn't do anything.
Right, right.
Hey, I didn't figure that correctly the first time. I'm not going to do that again. Then you adjust and move on.
Some of the biggest obstacle words that people use is, and then I'm going to give you, this is what you hear yourself saying, and therefore the obstacle appears to be like this. Okay, for example, these are examples, okay? The children need me. So, therefore, the obstacle sounds like childcare. Okay, so these are obstacles that we put in our heads. These are just kind of random things that I found. What if I fail? It's lack of basic security. These are just things, you know, you're missing something. You're missing some aspects of security. First, I have to do the dishes. Household chores pile up. We also live a normal life, too. So we have to remember that sometimes outside of our business, we also have to go home and do the things that, you know, need to be done. They just wouldn't stop talking, you know. It could be friends who are just, you know, really not friends, just whatever, so however you look at it. Maybe I'll have a snack, refrigerator too handy. These are just things that they use in business tactics and to kind of help you get over obstacles. Why you might be thinking this, I couldn't put it down. Reading for escape. When I get an office, that's a question. Present space to be too cramped, okay? So it means, who would want to do what I do? Exaggerating self with puzzles. I just couldn't say no, accepting too many invitations. But I never liked math. Fear of numbers, graphs, and charts. I'm no good at planning. Fear of losing spontaneity. I hate paperwork. Fear of people being overwhelmed. I'm not talented. Unwilling to look closely at what you have done thus far. I don't know my purpose in life. Unable to set short-term goals. No one would support this idea. Idea insufficiently developed. When I get time, priorities not yet set. These are just different things that people said that they were feeling, and then this is kind of maybe how they interpreted. So these are obstacles. These are common obstacles for people who are in business, people who are thinking about getting into business. You know, just little things like that. And then the list can go on and on and on and on. But this is just some things I wanted to throw out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, those are some good points. Because that's something I have to continuously do, too, because I find that I will mentally start drifting into this, okay, I have all these numbers to crunch and all these all this information that I've researched that I need to put into databases. And sometimes I can get kind of bogged down into this, like, wow, I could spend a year strapped to this chair just entering numbers in the spreadsheets and stuff. And it's like sometimes I have to pull myself back up. It's like, okay, I'm kind of spinning my wheels right now. What can, you know, you have to like reprioritize every once in a while. So it's like, okay, what's bringing in money and what's not? What's building a client base and what's not? What data am I collecting that is not really going to be useful for research or a book or a article or a blog or whatnot? You know, there's millions of pieces of data to be collected out there. I have to control, and I love doing research, so I have to pull the reins back on myself once in a while and go like, okay, what's really not worth spending the time compiling that's never going to get into like a good usable format?
Right. That's true. So true. So true. So true. So true. But you know, we're our biggest, you know, advocate, and we're our biggest, you know, rock. It gets anchor too, you know, get in our way. And that's something we just have to work on. Work on our creativity, work on, you know, seeing things a little different. There's a lot of things in business that, you know, we could cover today. I think we don't have enough time to cover everything. Next week, maybe we'll cover a little bit. Maybe we'll do like one little topic at a time. But there's information out there. There's information out there. And, you know, if you're blogging and you want to use a source and quote it, but give credit. You know, give credit where credit is due. That way you don't look like a fraud. That's super important,
right,
especially when you're in business. So that's something a lot of people just redistribute information, you know, for other people. I mean, you see that in all kinds of business. They redistribute products, redistribute, you know, words, redistribute books, redistribute oils, redistribute. I mean, so it's unlimited what we can do out there. And a lot of it has to do with discipline, being ourselves being disciplined to the fact of doing something and being focused on something. And sometimes it's not bad to maybe have maybe a little part-time job, something to keep us going until we are able to be on our own and to, you know, branch off. Being a business for yourself doesn't have to be hard, and it doesn't have to be difficult. Sometimes I think we make it difficult because we want it to look a certain way to the world. And, you know, there's never the right time, the right moment. And sometimes, you know, especially on websites, we need to look presentable. We need to look, if our face is there, we want to have our best face there. So when people look at us, you've seen this happen, and this has happened to you, this happened to me and several others in the group. People said, oh, this is the first time I met you. I only know what you look like on Facebook, you know? So,
right.
You know, of course, they don't say anything nasty, like, oh, you're better looking on Facebook.
Right.
Never had that one, but it
happens. I like you better from a distance.
Yeah. And, you know, something in business, because since we're a touchy-feely group, is inviting people to a hug, inviting people to a handshake, inviting somebody, you know, hey, you know, I'm a hugger. If you don't want to hug, no problem, you know, or whatever, you know. I think it's just energetically we have to figure those things out.
Yeah, right. I agree. And it's, you know, being able to assess the situation and who you're talking to at the time. And, you know, just like, you know, when I'm doing a reading for somebody, sometimes they don't want to give out details about certain situations. Sometimes they're like dying for somebody to talk to, and they will just blurt out very personal stuff. And that, you know, either way is fine, because, you know, whatever the client is comfortable with. But it's kind of about, you know, knowing your audience and who you're, which is another lesson I had to go through, like with my classes. It's like I had to finally look and assess, like, what am I. Like, I learned that I couldn't do a step-by-step teaching of astrology by doing a class every month, because everybody can't make it every month, and then people are lost. So I realized, you know, a few years ago, it needed to be, every class needed to be a one-off thing. And then I realized, like, okay, I'm going over too many charts in class. I'm just killing people with math and, you know, analyzing charts and stuff. So I realized, too, it needed to shift to being a more conceptual thing, looking at the current energies and helping people deal with the current energies, and then just looking at, you know, one or two charts to kind of show people how things are playing out. So, you know, you learn and you adjust, and some things work for a while and then need tweaked, and then... So you just kind of, you know, there's no really good hard, fast rule book of how to do stuff. So you give yourself the room to make mistakes and to adjust, and, you know, don't beat yourself up over mistakes. You fix it. There was a lesson to be learned, and you go on.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Adjust. That's something that we must.
Yes.
Because if you don't, someone will adjust you for you.
Yes. And that is a good lesson for the next year, with Jupiter goes into Virgo on August 11th. So we're going to have a lot of that adjustable, mutable, changing Virgo energy, where there may be crises, but we'll have the energy and the knowledge to fix things and adjust on the fly, and to, you know, right the ship.
Absolutely. Yeah, and this show's kind of like been our little hub. We've been able to share our thoughts and stuff. So, I mean, people who actually get to tune in and listen to what we're doing, they get valuable information that they probably would pay a lot of money just to hear what we had to say. But these are things that we have to our advantage, too. We can bundle it, promote it, sell it, use it, you know. It's just a matter of being creative and causing and making that time to, you know, filter through some of the things that we've done. We've done a lot of work together just in the last couple of years, you know, that we've been working together.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We've done a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, I sat back and I thought about that today, you know, thinking, man, Mark and I, just Mark and I alone have done a lot of stuff, you know, through the radio, mostly, especially through the radio, but there's a lot of information there. There's a lot of hidden gems and secrets and little things there that if you go back and listen to them, you'd be pretty surprised.
Yeah, I agree. This is a great forum and format to disseminate information. And I think, too, one of the I didn't really understand why you did this at first, but now I totally do. And it's like, you know, we don't script any of this, or sometimes we don't even really have anything beyond just a general topic. And then it just kind of takes its own life from there. We just, you know, trust that, you know, spirit is going to lead us to put out the information that somebody's going to need to hear.
And it usually right. Spirit usually gets us right on track.
Yep. Yep. I agree, so even to the point where a lot of times a topic will come up on here that has come up on another show or that has come up in a conversation I've had with somebody else. So, yeah, it's very interesting how that works.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a real quick break. We'll be right back. I hope you're enjoying the show.
Okey-doke.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
You're listening to Lifetime Wisdom Cafe on the With Insights Radio Network, on the Blog Talk Network. This is Iggy and Mark, and we are live, and we hope you've been enjoying our show. Next week, we'll be talking about limiting beliefs, what limiting beliefs can do to you. Other people's limiting beliefs, and we're scripting, Mark, we're scripting.
Yes.
and just the limiting beliefs we say to ourselves sometimes, so... How do we change that? How do we move that? So that'll be our topic for next week. So any closing thoughts or statements that you want to share with our audience?
I think it's just to, you know, not be as – it's easy for us to become really self-critical of ourselves. You know, I think when you – we spend a lot of time – projecting and judging. I think when you give yourself and the others around you the opportunity to grow and evolve and change and, you know, maybe not watch how we're projecting and, you know, we kind of create these own little boxes for ourselves that we keep ourselves chained into. So, just keep in mind that everyone's evolving and changing and going through their own experiences and, you know, allow yourself and others the room to grow as needed, then I think that, you know, is one of the keys to, you know, the spiritual and the business side is, you know, letting yourself have that room to grow and adjust on the fly as needed.
Absolutely. Very good. I'm kind of on the same avenue with you, you know. Just growth, adjust, and find, you know, be yourself. Be yourself in this business. You don't have to be somebody else who looks like something else or you want to be something else. Bring your uniqueness to the table. You know, you want to be that kind of astrologer, you can emulate things of that person, or that kind of shaman, you can emulate things. But, you know, what people will be attracted to is you. And what you bring to the table, what you show and what you share, and how they see you interact with other people. People watch you. People watch us. We watch people. So So it's super important to know how we're behaving. And, you know, I'm not saying you have to just monitor, especially when you're in business for yourself, the things you say and the things that you share with the world. Make sure it's accurate. Make sure it's concise. Make sure that you believe it. And that's probably one of the biggest things I'm going to close with tonight. Today is, do you believe what you're teaching? Do you believe what you're sharing? Because if you're not, other people will notice and people will know. And you'll know too. So have a long conversation with you in the mirror with yourself and say, hey, what's going on? A long mirror is the best because you see yourself completely. But other than that, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And Mark, we have some shows coming up tomorrow. We have the Gypsy Wagon at noon with Don
Wagon.
Thompson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's at noon tomorrow. And Friday on my show, Mark the Rabbit Hole, we will have astrologer and numerologist and name analyst Sherita Starr, who's been on Good Morning America and some other shows.
Nice.
And Mudtoe at Midnight, Friday at midnight.
Perfect. And then we begin again.
Yep. And then I believe our friend Gary's due up for a show sometime in the near future here.
Yeah, we're going to have to get him back on because we've been having events when he had to do shows. So we've been patient with him. There's a Drum Circle at Garcia's this weekend at 9 p.m. There's also a Shaman Walk at 11 a.m. Rock House in Hocking Hills. So for those of you who want to have the shaman experience. Are you having any classes this weekend, Mark?
I do not have any classes scheduled as of right now.
Okay.
But I have, I think we both have several things in the works that we'll be unleashing in the near future.
Yep, that's for sure.
Releasing the Kraken, if you will.
Just don't bend over too far.
That's right.
Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and we will see everybody tomorrow. I will see everybody tomorrow with Don, and we'll see Mark Friday, and we'll be back next week, and we'll keep sharing our thoughts with you. So ho'oponopono, much love, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Have a good day, everyone.